lift you up and magnify you, Lord. You're worthy of this offering, God. Hallelujah. This tonight.
Thank you, Jesus.
A couple of announcements. This Saturday from 11 to 1, there is a memorial service for John Atkins. Immediately after service, we're going to need some help with a couple guys to take down these trees for the service this Saturday. We're going to have the usher in the back. Let's pray for this night's offering. Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, that we could be in your house, that we could be in your presence, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, you've been so good to us throughout this year, in Jesus' name. Lord, you showed us how faithful, Lord, that you are to us. Lord, I pray that you bless this offering tonight, Lord, and every faithful and cheerful giver and the ones given by faith, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh,
Tonight and tomorrow that make New Year's resolutions, that they make plans to make 2020 their best year ever, and they're going to make all these changes and do all these things. But the only thing I can guarantee that would make your 2020 better than any other year is if your mentality, if our mentality became, Jesus, you're all I want. I don't want to be slimmer. I don't want to save more money. I just want Jesus. I just want him. More than money, more than a car, more than whatever we resolve to do, more than new hobbies, more than new skills, more than more books to read, more than whatever. I just want Jesus. I just want him. I just want him tonight. Amen. Amen. If we could turn our attention to the book of Philippians chapter 3. And as you're turning there, I purposely wanted to wait until now. I did not forget this part of the service, but it is my pleasure and my honor to give a lukewarm, just due to the temperature in here, but as warm of a welcome as we could give to Sister Andrea Krager. Or Brother Tom Williford. I'm not sure what they decided. Whichever way, it's so good to have her here, them here. All of you have known Tom for a long time, so you know what this means to him. I've known him for a couple of months, and even I know what this means to him. So it's awesome, and you've been prayed over, Sister Andrea. You've been hoped for and wished for, and now you're here. So not only are you Tom's blessing, you're our blessing too, and we are very thankful that you're here and you're a part of our church. You're probably more of Tom's blessing than ours, but we'll still claim that for us. The book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 12, a very familiar passage of Scripture if you spend any time in church. It reads, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So we spend our last couple of hours in 2019, and this is the last message we'll all hear in 2019. I want to speak to us for just a few moments. Press toward the prize. We could put our Bibles down, let's bow our heads, and let's ask God to speak to us on this last evening of this year. In Jesus' name, God, we thank you, Lord, that you've been with us all of 2019, that you've kept us. God, we maybe have some scrapes and bruises, maybe things didn't work out the way we thought they were going to, but yet you still have been faithful to us. You still are working with us. You still are our God, and you still are on the throne. And we thank you, Lord, for that. I pray that you touch this service tonight, that help us to end this year on a high note, excited about what you're going to do next year. And we'll give you all the glory. We'll give you all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Personality tests have grown increasingly popular in the last few years because everyone wants to determine exactly who you are. Some examples of them that maybe all of you have taken or some of you have taken or seen posted on social media and been curious what they stood for, but the Enneagram test. How many has taken an Enneagram test? Okay, maybe just my wife. Myers-Briggs test, MBTI test. Okay, well, none of you know who you are, so immediately following this service tonight, you have homework. Well, there's others called the color test, and it could be just that my wife enjoys these so much that I just assumed all of society enjoyed these so much. But it is a push and a movement, especially in the millennial generation, I see posting most often, because they're trying to determine who they are. They're looking for a reason to be who they are. And most of these personality tests are similar. They pull out different characteristics of a personality, but they still are pretty similar. And they tell you more about yourself. And often they're extremely effective. My wife and I have listened to a couple of personality podcasts. Yes, they exist. Maybe only us that listen to it, but we've listened to these before, and my wife has almost made me wreck because she's yelled, "That's you. That's you. That's you." And then I start to listen to the characteristics, and the characteristics are like, you care too much for your wife, or you give her too many words of affection, or you spend too much quality time, and she's like, "That is you. Wow. That is you." Mostly, those are the traits. But all of these tests, all of these quizzes, all of these different personality profiles lead to the question and lead to hopefully find an answer: do you know the real you? Do you know? And it is actually pretty interesting when you take one and you start to read the information for your personality profile and you say, oh, I do that. I do the good things and I do the bad things. And it starts to explain to you maybe why you do those bad things that you don't want to do, or those good things that you love to do. And it starts to build a profile for who you are. But the question is important as we close this year: do you know the real you? Do you know who you actually are? Not the image of who you are, not who you think yourself to be, but who's the real you? Who are you? And Paul, when he wrote this scripture, he knew exactly who he was. He took stock of who he was. He says, "I counted myself." He looked inside. It says, I count not myself to have apprehended in the scripture, but the NLT, it breaks it down, and what he is actually saying in the NLT is, "I have not yet achieved perfection." Paul is writing to the church in the book of Philippians, and he's telling them, "I have yet to achieve perfection." Paul, as we know, there's other than Jesus himself, but really beyond Jesus, there wasn't a greater Christian than Paul that has lived. He was a martyr who suffered for Christ. He was God's voice to the New Testament church and beyond. He was called up to the third heaven for revelations of things that we had never even heard of before. He was a good Christian. But even after all of that, Paul still tells them and still tells us that he had not yet achieved perfection. He still was pressing towards the mark of perfection. If we are still alive today, which most of you are, and depending on how long this sermon goes, we'll see how long it lasts or how cold it gets in here. But most of us are still alive today, so therefore we have yet to achieve anything. We've yet to achieve perfection in our life because we haven't finished our course. Those that have gone before us, Sister Jones that we just mentioned, Brother Jones that we just mentioned, they have achieved perfection. They have made it to the finish line. But those of us that are still here are still fighting. We're still pressing and we're still working. But we must continue to press. We must continue to push. We must continue to reach forward towards Christ. The problem with the pursuit of anything is you continue to pursue. You want it, you want it, you want it. But once you've attained it, the pursuit is gone. There's no reason to continue to pursue after that. That's the problem with a lot of diets. You set a diet weight. For any of you that have set a diet weight and you've lost weight, oftentimes, not judging anybody, I'm not pointing fingers, I've done it, but you work so hard, you're diligent. I'm going to get to this weight, and you get to that weight, then all of a sudden, 2 weeks goes by, 3 weeks goes by, and you're up 3 pounds. And how did this happen? I worked so hard to get here, and 2 more weeks goes by, and a birthday and a holiday hits, and you're up 7 pounds. And before you know it, you're back to where you started, frustrated and upset, because we lose the drive. We lose the reason to pursue, but because we've already attained it. I have yet to attain Christ. I've gotten a taste of Christ. I've gotten a touch, just the smallest sample of Christ, and all it does is make me want him more. I just desire him more and more, more standing here on New Year's Eve 2019 than any other New Year's Eve before. I want Christ. I want to pursue him. I want to seek after the prize of the high calling. I am determined. I am made up in my mind to get as much as I can of Jesus. Only you can determine how much of Jesus you get. Nobody else can withhold Jesus from you. Nobody else can remove Jesus. It is up to you of how much of him you get. And I am determined to pursue and press after Jesus. Paul, speaking of Paul, he knew himself. He knew he had limitations. The problem is we don't often recognize our limitations, or we overlook our limitations. But Paul knew he had limitations. He writes in Romans 7, verse 18. Brother Al could probably quote this. We talked about this on Sunday. But he says, I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. He's saying, I realize that no good thing dwelleth within me. I am flesh. Paul writes that nothing good is in me. Nothing but sin and muck and junk. Paul writes that nothing is good inside of him because Paul had an accurate image of who he was. Paul understood he was human. He understood that he had shortcomings. He understood that he wasn't perfect. And the good thing is not a single one of us are perfect, and no one is expecting us to be perfect. No one is pushing you towards perfection. I mean, we're seeking after it, but it's an unattainable goal. And no one is disappointed in you if you fall, if you fail. That happens. We are disappointed with you when you fall and continue to fail and don't pick yourself back up. We all will trip. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but we don't choose to stay on the ground. We have to get back up. We have to realize I've made a mistake. We have to realize I tripped up and realize also that there's a God that offers grace when that happens. So pick yourself up and continue to press towards the mark. Continue to press forward. Continue to move forward. Jesus talks about knowing yourself and gives an example in the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. Luke 18, verse 9 says, he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. But then the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. We will never, if our mentality is that we come into this church like we've arrived, like we're something. Brother Davis pastored here 38 years, has been in ministry his whole life, has been committed to this. If he would come in here and start to say that he's something, which I know he would never do, which is why I use him in this. But if he'd start to come in and start beating his chest and saying, you're right, I did pastor 38 years. I preached some pretty good sermons. I baptized quite a few. Yeah, I did do a whole bunch. If that would ever take place, it never will. But if that would take place, he could not be elevated in the kingdom. He will be abased in the kingdom. But if a child came in just broken and just came to an altar and said, God, I'm a sinner. I'm ugly. I'm broken. God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. God will elevate that small child that has not accomplished anything in the kingdom of God, because God's not looking for someone to establish themselves. He's looking for us to understand who the real you is, and that's a sinner that's broken, but that's a sinner saved by grace. That's a sinner who needs Jesus. That's a sinner who needs a walk with God. If we exalt ourselves, we lower ourselves, but if we will humble ourselves, then God will exalt us. We see a similar issue with Simon Peter, who would become the rock which God would establish the New Testament church. He exalted himself in Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus said, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Peter's response, Jesus is telling them that all of you will be offended of me. All of you will leave me. I'll be all on my own. And Peter says, not though they might. Me? I walked with you, Jesus. I am a strong Christian. I've done something. I'm going to be the rock that you'll build your church on. Not me. Not me, Jesus. And when he starts to build himself up, we know the story that he ends up inevitably denying Christ three times. And because he built himself up, I wonder, I don't know, this isn't scriptural, I have no way to back this up, but if Peter's response would have been, God, I'm sorry that I'm going to offend you. I would not like to offend you. You say that I am. God, forgive me in advance for offending you. I wonder how that interaction would have gone with the three times that he denied Christ. I don't know, and I'm not trying to put anything into the Bible, but I'm just thinking out loud with us all. But God isn't expecting us to be perfect. He knew the disciples weren't going to be perfect. He knew that, but yet he still had a plan for the New Testament church. And he isn't expecting us to be perfect or to be above reproach, but we just can't position ourselves like that, because if we do, we will inevitably fail. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. What Jesus, what Paul, and what our Bible is trying to tell us is be mindful of your shortcomings. Be aware. Make yourself, if you don't know your shortcomings, go to someone you trust implicitly and that can keep private, but have an accountable relationship. I mean, I trust my wife. If my wife tells me I have a shortcoming somewhere, which I have them, I'm sure, maybe, probably, right? But I trust her with whatever she tells me. I may not receive it well that first time, but I will come back to her. Many times I've come back to her and realized that she was right. And you need that. We need to be open and honest with ourselves. And once we get beyond that self-evaluation, we have to move past some things. Like Paul wrote in our text, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. As we physically leave 2019, just a couple of hours, our phones are going to tell us it's 2020. We will move into a brand new year, but we need to figuratively leave some things behind. The first thing we need to leave behind in 2019 is sin. We need to leave whatever sin, whatever thing that you've carried, whatever temptation that you keep giving into, whatever sin you've not covered under the blood, you need to leave that here tonight. We will create time. We will. There is time for forgiveness. There is time to leave sin buried under the blood of Jesus Christ. Sin does not get to be carried into 2020. I know we're not doing communion tonight. That does not mean that God can't forgive and God can't remove sin. There's no reason. There's no need. Not a single person should leave this church with sin from 2019 into 2020. That does not belong in 2020. It's not God's will for us to carry sin into our new year. Another thing that we are going to leave behind is hurt. Whether that's hurt from a family member, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a church member, maybe it's something I've done or my wife has done, maybe it's something that the previous pastor, or maybe it's something Brother Davis as the previous pastor 7-8 years ago has done. Sorry, Brother Davis, that'll be the last time you're called upon tonight. But whoever hurt you, whatever hurt there is, leave that hurt behind in 2019. It's easy for me to say it. I understand that. It's much easier for me to say it than you to do it. But I promise you, if someone hurt you and you're still dwelling on it, I can almost guarantee that that person has forgot long ago what they did, why they did it, and how it hurt you. You're giving them power by still being hurt, by still being bothered, by still being upset. So if there's hurt, I know it doesn't feel good to our flesh to forgive people, but forgive them. Move on. You don't have to like the person. I'm not saying take them to dinner. I'm not saying spend your New Year's Eve with them, but forgive them and get past the hurt because it's only holding you back. I promise it's not holding them back. They've forgotten long ago that hurt. The third thing to leave behind is shame. Raise your hand if you had a perfect year in 2019. None of us did. So if none of us had a perfect year in 2019, if none of us didn't make any mistakes, if everything, none of us could fall under that category, why would we ever be shameful and embarrassed when we weren't perfect either? We live in a social media society that you post your good picture, you delete the bad ones, and everything looks good. You're always on vacation somehow, people on social media. And so we just begin to think that everything is honky-dory for everybody else, and I got it bad, so I'm embarrassed and I carry shame. But I promise you, every single one of us have a battle, have a struggle. We're up against something. So let's just come to terms with it, not put on airs, not act like we got it all figured out. Let's not be worried about what someone else thinks, and let's just leave shame behind in 2019. It is a lie from hell. I feel like I'm running through this. I apologize if I'm speed reading. But that is a lie from hell that everything has it all figured out and all put together, and you're the only one that doesn't. There's nothing more than the enemy would like is to seclude you and to push you off and to make you think you're the only one that's struggling. That could not be farther from the truth. So we cannot pick up that shame, that embarrassment, that whatever the emotion is, and say, well, I really wish I would have gotten rid of it in 2019, but I didn't because everyone else still has it all together. And I know I'll see pictures tonight where people are somehow downtown Chicago for New Year's Eve or in New York City for New Year's Eve or Paris for New Year's Eve, and I'm in Sandwich, Illinois. So they got all this fancy life, and I'm doing this, so I'll just carry the shame and embarrassment when that just isn't the case. I don't care about anybody else. They don't matter. I just care about me, my family, and my relationship with God. I don't care what anybody else thinks. God knows that I'm trying to pursue and press after him. We need to leave behind disappointments in 2019. Your year didn't go as planned. I'm very sorry to hear that. I'm sorry that it surprised you, but I promise that God was not surprised by your 2019. He wasn't caught off guard by your 2019. He knew exactly what was going to happen, and if God was okay with how your year went, you need to be okay with how your year went. God knows what he's doing, and it didn't work out the way I wanted it to, but trust God, he knows what he's doing. The last thing, there's probably other things, but for the sake of time, the last thing I want us to leave behind in 2019, and I don't mean this to be a shock value when I say it, but hear me out, we need to leave behind every blessing that God blessed us in 2019. I'm not suggesting that we forget every blessing that God blessed us in 2019. But the testimony that Brother Kellum got up on Sunday and he spoke and he talked about what God did for him in 2019, how he healed him, how he provided a way out, provided a way out. I'm very thankful for that. But I don't want to be standing up here in 2020 and I say, Brother Kellum, you remember what God did for you last year? Could you come back up here and give that testimony a year ago of what God did? And let's celebrate that. And we would celebrate, we would be excited for it, but instead of hearing Brother Billy's testimony, I want to hear your testimony of what God did in 2020. God's got new blessings, he's got new miracles, he's got new things that he wants to do, and I want to leave behind, not forget, but leave behind the old ones and look forward towards the new ones that he's going to pour out. A runner doesn't run a race halfway and then say, hey, I'm in the lead. I'm feeling pretty good. Look at me. Look what I did. I mean, that's when you begin to do that, you begin to look around, man, I am pretty quick. Wow. Well, inevitably, the runners will catch up with you. We aren't done with our race. We aren't done running yet. So we are not going to pause. I'm thankful for what God did, but we are not going to pause and dwell upon what God did when God has much more for us in 2020. God has more blessings. God has more miracles for us in 2020. I'm thankful. I am eternally thankful for everything that God has done here over the last 50-some years that the church has been in existence. We would not be here today if it wasn't for what God has done over the last 50 years. I give God glory for that. But now we're in 2020, and the race is still being run in 2020. And I don't want to hearken back. I don't want to have somebody get up and say, in 1990, we had this tremendous move of God. We had a revival. We saw this many people get the Holy Ghost, this many people be blessed, and that to be the only miracle we can share. I believe God has a miracle and has a revival for 2020 that we can hold on to, we can cling to. He's still pushing. He's still pouring out blessings. I'm thankful for all of the adults here in this church. I'm thankful. I know she couldn't be here tonight, but for Sister Pat, who has been here from the beginning, the only remaining founding member of this church, I give God glory for that, and I'm thankful for everything God has done in her life. But I'm also, even maybe more so, thankful, other than what God did in Sister Pat's life, more so thankful for what God is going to do in Sadie's life in 2020. What God is going to do in Abby's life. What God is going to do in Ethan's life. What God is going to do in Levi's life. I'm thankful for the future that God is going to continue pouring out. If the Lord tarries in 20 years, you're 11, Sadie? In 20 years, she'll be 31 years old if the Lord tarries. It is going to be Sadie standing up here saying, look at what God did in my life. She's going to take Brother Billy's testimony and say, I was sick. I don't know how. For years, I struggled with this. For years, I was up against this. But God worked. But God did something. But God moved in my life. And that's what I'm moving forward to and pressing forward to, what God is going to do. Sister Kellum, praying for our young people. I believe God has blessings for our young people in 2020. I believe God is going to move and God is going to do a work and our 2020, and we are pressing towards that. God is not done yet. God is not, unless he comes at midnight, God is not done, and he still has a plan for 2020. He still has something that he wants to do, and if he's not closed the book yet on time, that means he still is working, and he still is moving, and if God's still going to move, then I say, God, move in Sandwich, Illinois. Move at First Apostolic Church. If you're going to pour out a revival in 2020, let it be in Sandwich. Let it be here. Let it be here. And so Paul continues in our text. It says, reaching forth unto those things which are before. We're still reaching. We're still here. We're still pursuing and pushing, and it should be now so more than ever. Now is not a time to step back. Now is not a time to kick up your feet. Now so more than ever is a time to put your shoulder to the axe or shoulder to the grindstone and just to continue to push and move. God tells us, or Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Our pursuit has to be perfection with God. We have to seek walking with him every day, drawing closer to him every day, spending more time with him every day. None of us are too close to Christ. God has never told a single one of us again with the prayers. Okay. Again, you want to talk with me. Again, you want to spend time. You're fasting today, too. Wow, second day of the week. Okay, I guess. Go right ahead. You're giving to the building fund and to missions. Okay, looks like I'll have to bless you. Yeah, if that's how you're going to do it. We never have to fear achieving perfection. We never will get there. We never, until God comes back or we pass on, we will not reach that goal, but we will continue to press towards the mark. We will continue to push. We will continue to reach, because that's what God wants us to do. Be ye therefore perfect. He knows better than we do that we are flesh and human and have shortcomings. He understands that, but he still desires us to push and to pursue and to press towards him. Finally, as we near to a close, we come to a close in the text. Paul tells us his purpose for identifying himself, for forgetting his past, and for reaching forward. And that's that I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There is a prize coming. There is a reward coming. There is an eternal reward. There is a light at the end of this dark tunnel. There is, like we look forward to spring already, like we look forward, if the altars are open, we could all come. But there is a light at the end of this tunnel. But that light is going to cost us something. A prize that's this valuable costs something. It costs the surrendering of oneself. The surrendering of you. The humbling of you. John the Baptist, he knew this. And this is why he wrote in John 3:33, like Brother Al and I again talked about, he must increase and I must decrease. That's a verse that's very easy to quote. It's just, what, one, two, three, just seven words. Very easy to quote, very easy to stick with you, very easy to, you know, encourage somebody with, and very easy for the guy with the microphone to say it from a pulpit. But it is difficult because we love self. We have self. We, like Paul, we are flesh. No good thing dwelleth in me. But if we're ever going to achieve that prize, the reward of the high calling, if we're ever going to achieve perfection with Jesus, then we have got to decrease. He has got to increase. We have got to lessen ourselves and increase Him. In order for FAC to get to where we want to be, where we think God can take us, where we see revival, where we see the names removed out of this jar, because they are attending service, because they're sitting in the pews. If we're ever going to get to the place that I believe God wants us to get to, we must decrease and He must increase. Well, there's got to be so little of Titus. So Titus isn't that good. Lauren isn't that good. We're not that good in comparison to Jesus. So why would we try and make it an even level? God needs to increase, and we need to decrease. Wherever that may be, however that leads us, whatever that looks like, us decreasing and Him increasing, we need to push towards. You aren't called to be something high, you are called to be something higher than a manager at your job. You're called to be something higher even than a CEO. You're called to be higher than that. God isn't satisfied. If you made it to a CEO, but yet you didn't have a relationship with God, you weren't pressing towards Him, that's a failure in God's eyes. Because God has such a high calling available to you. He's got such a high calling that He's placed upon you, and that's an eternity with Him. Let's make heaven our home. So as we close this year, we need to make efforts to remove things that would hinder your pursuit. Again, we look at ourselves. Only you know what gets in the way. Only you know what movies, what channels you watch, what songs you listen to, what relationships you have, what things are on your phone, and I'm not even saying bad things, but what things hinder you, what things distract you, what things take your time away from spending time with God. Only you knows what those things are. And only you know what you can remove in your life. I'm not even saying we destroy our phones, we quit our jobs, we fast 7 days a week. We're not even to that point. But what's the stuff on the edges that we could say, God, this is just extra. This is hindering my pursuit of you. I'm pursuing something else. I'm being very candid. I spent time last week with my in-laws for Christmas in a full week, and I have a brother-in-law that has a PS4 and he has the new Madden football game. And we played 11 games of Madden. We had to play 11 because he won 5 and I won 5. So we're at 5-5, and it made us late leaving to come home on Saturday because I had to play one more game. I'm very proud to say I won that game. But Thank you. But, I mean, how much time, and which is why I don't have a console, because I know I would give time to it because I enjoy playing that. But I thought as I was driving home, we stayed an extra 45 minutes to an hour. We're getting home an hour later. We have church on Sunday tomorrow. We have Tuesday night. I'm pushing this. I have a baby who, all those things, just to play a video game, just to do this. And so I'm talking about things like that. What are we doing that's just extra, that isn't important, that isn't necessary, but would just hinder our pursuit with Jesus Christ? If we could all stand. So have you taken the chance to take stock of yourself, to do like Paul said, where he said, I counted myself. He looked at himself for your year in 2019. Have you been open and true to yourself about how well you've done in this pursuit of Jesus Christ, this pursuit of a high calling? I know it's easy. We blink, and the older I get, the quicker it happens, and those older than me could probably attest, years just start to fly by. And you feel like you blink and everything changes. But then if you take a moment and just pause and remember stuff that took place, remember the changes, remember the days where you were heartbroken, remember the days where you were excited, remember, I mean, you start to think, well, actually, maybe it wasn't that quick. Maybe more took place than what I thought. And you know, we make decisions every day. Every day is made up of individual decisions. Of those decisions, did you make the choice to pursue Christ more or pursue self more? That's how it happens. It doesn't happen in a year. It happens decision by decision by decision. Just continual decision. And it's easy to say, well, I'll just get an extra 30 minutes of sleep this morning because I had a long night, and I'll just pray later, and I'll just read my Bible later. And it's very, very, very easy to do that. And that one minor decision just is a minor decision. But that one decision to get 30 minutes of sleep is a decision to pursue self instead of pursuing Jesus. Life is made up of small decisions, minor decisions that impact our years. So what commitments in prayer or Bible reading could we make to pursue Christ this coming year? If you've never read your Bible through, I think 2020 would be a great year to start. It'd be a great year to try. Amen. Amen. We have a bread reading pamphlet profile that Sister Rachel has in the office. We can give it to you. There's apps for it. There's no reason not to. Even if you're a terrible reader, even if you're like Brother Ryan and don't enjoy reading, you can listen to the Bible. You don't have to read. You can hear the Bible. There's alternatives. But make a commitment to yourself. Make a commitment to your family. Challenge yourself to at least try. And no one's going to judge you at the end of the year and say, you didn't read your Bible. Get him. Get him. The worst thing that will happen is that you don't get a muffin that Sister Christy brings. That's the worst thing. Well, what if you've never taken time in the morning before work or before school or before you start your day to just spend a few moments with God in the morning? Make a commitment to do that. Not only will that strengthen you, but your commitment, your individual commitment, will strengthen our church. You will be lifting each and every one of us. You will be praying for us and encouraging us, and you will be helping me. You'll be helping the church. You'll be helping your brother and sister. If you don't do it for you, do it for the church. If you've struggled to give financially with tithes or offerings to the church, make a commitment to give. I promise God will be with you as you give. God will bless you as you give. God will stretch your finances in ways you've never imagined. In my short life, I've seen God do it time after time after time after time after time. Just, I don't know how, to the day, needing money, and God just fixed it. This God is faithful to those that are faithful with him. If you prove you trust God with your finances, then God can trust you with his finances. So think to yourself, what could I do to press towards the prize in 2020? Maybe I didn't do as good of a job as I wanted. That's self-evaluation. That's okay. Maybe you think you did a great job. There's always room for improvement. There's always room to grow. So as we close tonight, and in just a moment, I'm going to give some direction. But I'm going to ask us to find a place to pray. We can do it standing at your pew. You can sit at your pew. You can come to the altar. Whatever you feel comfortable with. Your choice tonight. But before we do, I want to give just a few instructions. I want to challenge each of us just to take a few moments and do that soul searching. Just be brutally honest with yourself. Only you know if you're judging yourself, if you're saying, I didn't do a good job, I did a great job. Just be open like Paul was open. If you're not open, then you're never going to grow. If you try and you're only lying to yourself if you tell yourself that, hey, I was pretty perfect, actually. Ask your spouse. She'll tell you. But as we close, or as we move into that, we'll spend some time soul searching and realize who we are and where we're at. But then the second part of our prayer time, just after a few minutes, and I'm not going to really lead it. I got some stuff I got to work through on my own. But we'll be asking, or as we transition, we'll ask God, what one thing, what one minor extra stuff could I just give God to make my 2020 truly a 2020 where I'm pressing towards the mark, where I'm pressing towards the prize? Maybe it's more time with prayer. Maybe it's teaching a Bible study. Maybe it's fasting. I don't know what God is going to open to your eyes. I don't know what God is going to bring to you, but just be open to it. No one's going to hold it over your head that you committed to something. We're not twisting anybody's arm, but we're just trying to get to a place that we are all pressing forward together, where we're not leaving any one of us behind, where nobody is staying back in 2019 with sin, with shame, with hurt. If you have those things, spend time in prayer right now. Leave that behind. Make those decisions to leave that behind. So if we could all just find a place right where we're at, we're just going to spend just a couple of moments. I just felt that I wanted to close in prayer like this. So just make just 5 or 10 minutes, nothing grand, nothing extreme, but just find a place and let's begin to ask God to speak to us, to open and reveal our eyes and our minds to who we are and what we struggle with. God, I pray right now, God, you'd help us, Jesus, as we close out this service. God, as we come forth in prayer, as we find a place to pray, God, reveal to us if there were shortcomings. God, help us to leave them here. God, help us to leave behind sin. Help us to leave behind shame. Help us to leave disappointments, brokenness. God, all the things that you don't desire for us to carry into 2020, God, show them to us. God, bring it to our attention. God, we leave them on the altar. We leave them in the pew. God, I don't want to carry anything with me that you don't desire me to carry. God, I believe you have more for me in 2020 than I've ever experienced before. So, God, I pray that you would draw each and every one of us closer to you. God, you would give us a pursuit and a desire for you like we've never had before. God, we want more. God, we want more of you. God, you must increase and I must decrease. God, you must become greater and I must shrink down. God, I must disappear. God, I don't want any flesh. I don't want any titles. God, I don't want any accomplishments that I've done. I want nothing but what you've done. God, I want nothing but your peace, your love, your joy, your blessings on my life in 2020. God, help us right now. In Jesus' name. us all over this place. We close this service and we close our final service on 2019. I just feel that I want to close in unity. We are brothers, we are sisters, we are a family, we are the body of Christ. So I'm going to ask, wherever you're at, let's all come forward. I'm going to invite everyone to come down, and we're going to try and make a circle or an oval, one big, however it'll work. Sister Darlene can direct. But let's come down, babe. We're going to make one big circle of unity. So people here.